Hello, everyone. This is a special show today. We've got Steph here. Hey, Steph.
Good morning.
We're excited. It's October 10th. And as promised, we have Alyssa Milano, and we're so excited to speak to her because there's so many things to talk about, and she's just everywhere. So before we begin, let me just start by saying you can support our show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. You can donate any amount you want, $1, $2, $3, $5 gets you into our next segment after this one, which is called End Another Thing. Steph and I usually talk about various personal issues. Sometimes we get a little raunchy, and it's fun. Anyway, you can support the show with any amount you wish, and we ask that you do. So without any further ado, I would like to welcome Alyssa Milano. Hello, Alyssa.
Hello. How are you?
We're just so happy you're here.
We're giddy. We're giddy, Alyssa. Bit.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, I want to start this off by just telling everybody. I've told our listeners before kind of how we met, but we met in a Twitter chat group, which was basically started by Renato Mariotti, who was looking for people who wanted, you know, help to amplify his run for Illinois AG. And I've been an ERA activist since 2012, and so I wanted him to know about it because I knew that that was... it would be possibly ratified in Illinois, which it was earlier this year. And so I wrote to him in our little group, and he saw it, and then you picked up on it, and you saw what I wrote, and you said, oh my God, this is going to be my new mission. And I can't even tell you how happy I was. My boyfriend was out working out, and I was like screaming through our home. I was like, oh my God, ah! And because I've been looking for someone who's intelligent, who has a high profile, to talk about the ERA. And it was like, just like me, when I learned in 2012 that America doesn't have an equal rights amendment, I decided that's it. I'm going to start, you know, working on this issue. And that's exactly how you reacted. And ever since then, you have really put your money where your mouth is. And I had the good fortune of going with you when you spoke at Carolyn Maloney's shadow hearing earlier this year, which I'm so grateful. And you did such a wonderful job. And thank so, first of all, just thank you so much for taking this on. Thank you for taking everything you take on. But the ERA is so particularly important because so many people don't realize, you know, that we don't have gender equality, constitutional gender equality. So,
I think it's a really important time right now, and we need this now, obviously, more than ever. And for people that may not know, you know, the Equal Rights Amendment is a constitutional amendment which would prohibit denying equal rights under law by our Constitution, the United States, or any state on account of sex. Mm-hmm. And it would guarantee the equal rights of men and women, you know, and it's, I mean, people are really shocked that we don't have any
right.
of this in the Constitution already. Really, the only protection we have is the 19th Amendment, which is the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And
that doesn't protect you from discrimination.
No, it doesn't.
Protect you from discrimination, and it doesn't, you know, throw the complete law of the Constitution behind women. The only way to really do that is to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. And so I think we're going to do it. We are, since Trump has been elected, Nevada has ratified and Illinois has ratified. And we need one more state to reach the 38, and I think it's either going to be Virginia, Arizona, or Florida.
Yeah, I think Virginia's looking pretty good.
Can I jump in here, you guys, because you're the experts, and I have a question just as sort of a layperson, although I do have, I feel relatively up to speed because, well, Kimberly's my partner. what happens when that final state... jumps on the bandwagon, then do we take it to the House? Do we take it to the Senate? Where does it go?
Well, it's got, you know, back in the 70s, the Republicans slapped on a deadline. The deadline expired in the 80s. So what we would have to do is get a Democratic Congress that will repeal that expired deadline. And then once that's done, then it will, I think the text of the ERA says something along the lines of once it's ratified, it'll be in the Constitution in 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, it's 2 years after that. But also, I mean, I'd like to think that that's what's going to happen, but honestly, we don't really know. It might go to the Court. If it goes to the Supreme Court,
that was going
to
be my next question.
And the right has the majority, which they do. You know, might have another fight here. I definitely think we are all witnessing the suppression of women right now, because I think that the Republican Party that thrives so much on this optics of being white male and that being the power, I think they're terrified.
Yeah.
And I think that they will fight tooth and nail to get this, you know, not passed.
Right. What do you guys, this is just a query. I have a dear friend who I've known for years. She's an attorney. She is an very active liberally, and she tends to kind of go to the dark side a little bit and sort of predicts things like, well, Trump winning and other icky stuff, Kavanaugh being nominated and voted into the Supreme Court. But what she said to me yesterday, which was sort of a glimmer of hope for me, because I've been feeling incredibly down, sleepless, like I'm sure the two of you have. It's affected my relationships with all the people that I love most of all in the world, because it brings up so much yuck, this whole Brett Kavanaugh thing. But here he is now on the Supreme Court. You know, Chief Justice Roberts voted the right way where the ACA was concerned, right? Do you think that it might, and this is my friend's posit, I suppose, do you think it might cause Gorsuch and Robert, who are otherwise very conservative and the ones that we've feared most? I mean, Alito's is a lost cause. Mm-hmm. But what if they see the circumstances under which Kavanaugh was put onto the Supreme Court? It's got to horrify and sicken them in some way, I would imagine. Because as much as I don't agree with their politics, they seem like legit dudes. What do you think this is going to do to them? And could it possibly cause them to lean a little bit more towards decency and how these conservative decisions would affect our population as a whole versus,
well, I mean, I think one can only hope, right? But mm-hmm. but having said that, I truly believe that since Trump was elected, this has been McConnell's plan all along, mm-hmm. is to take over the courts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because really throughout this entire administration, and Trump has confirmed 69 judges on all level of courts. And what that enables is when he puts forth hurtful policy, you know, it gives them reason to not, correct that policy. We've looked at our courts now for corrective action throughout this administration. You know, things like the Muslim ban, things like the transgender military ban. It's the courts that have saved us, and if they stack those courts against us, these hurtful policies will continue to go through. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I think that this is much more of an overall plan that is working quite nicely. Mm-hmm. And in order for this plan to stop working, we have to take back the Senate,
because
the Senate votes on judges, all judges. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is something that so many people don't really realize, especially, you know, I mean, I came to politics later on, and it wasn't until I really got involved and became an activist that I realized Senate voted on Supreme Court justices. And I think that if, when I was a younger woman, if I would have known that, if I would have realized the importance and the impact, I might have been a little bit more interested in politics. But, you know, I think you're moved when you're uncomfortable, which actually brings me to a question that somebody on my Facebook page, Darius, has for you. He wants to know, Alyssa, what got you involved in politics?
I've been an activist since I was 15 years old. There was a young boy named Ryan White in the 80s who you know, in the 80s, I was on a show called Who's the Boss.
And yes, I watched it every week.
this little boy was HIV positive and thrown out of school because the school was worried about him transmitting the disease through casual contact. And he fought for the right to go back to school, and he spoke in front of Congress. And he was friends with Elton John, and Elton contacted me, you know, when I was 15 and said, Ryan White would like to meet you. You're one of his heroes. And I met with him and we became friends. And along the way, he asked me to go on the Phil Donahue show and kiss him to prove that you could not get HIV AIDS through casual contact. And so, you know, at the height of the Who's the Boss frenzy and in the 80s, when there was so much stigma around the disease, I went on national television and I kissed a little boy that had HIV to prove that you couldn't get it from casual contact. And that moment really not only changed my existence up to that point, but really shaped the person that I would and grow into, because I realized why what I did was important, and the platform it afforded me to be able to make positive change, and to really shape a narrative and give, you know, people hope and to open people's eyes and hearts. And so that's how I became an activist. The politics happened in 2000 when Gore had the election stolen from him. And I was absolutely flabbergasted and appalled, and then, you know, had to deal with the Bush administration and all of that controversy. And in 2004, I just decided that that was it. I was going to go sort of be in the trenches. And so my entire real adult life, I've traveled the country on a district level, on a state level, to campaign for candidates that I believe in. I've gone to, you know, and I've been doing this so long. I used to go in the back of a pickup truck with a bullhorn into colleges. And, you know, sort of rally the students to want to vote. And so it's just been such a huge part of my life since then, and a part that I can't really shake, because I do believe in our country. I do believe in the experiment of our country. I do believe that even through all of this and all the corruption we've seen over you know, many administrations, it is so important that we all are part of the process. And I think if people actually volunteered and you know, supported candidates on a real ground level, yeah, they would realize how much smaller politics is, and it's how the little things make up the big things. I think we often think of politics as this, you know, federal, huge, dark money, you know, special interest groups. And really things start in communities. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's nothing to me more romantic than going to, you know, a district office and a headquarters and it being in someone's garage with a American flag tacked up to the wall and just really learning that is what makes this country great. But it doesn't work if we don't participate.
No. I want to ask you that. I just wrote down like six things I wanted to ask you off of that, off of your answer to my last question. But first of all, I'm shocked. I'm older than you. But of course, you know, I was aware of, watched the show. You were this dynamo. I had no idea about the Ryan White experience that you had in your life. I think I was probably too busy like partying and waitressing and maybe wasn't, you know, paying attention to what was going on in the regular world. But thank you for that. And I love, you know, you are someone who is so active, who is so committed, and your heart is so deep in this. And you are, you're a family person, you raise children, you have a career aside from this. Number one, how do you do that all and stay present with your children and with your spouse and not let the world around you get to you?
Well, I mean, I think children are a great motivator to do what I do, wanting it to be better for them, wanting it to be different for them. But also I realized a long time ago, there's no such thing as balance. Everyone's always striving for balance, you know, and I get asked that question all the time, like, how do you balance it all? And it's not balance. It's really, to me, it's about being present with what's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And that's an exercise that I've had to learn how to do, but it's important in a life like, you know, mine, that I have so many moving parts to it. To just be present and aware in that moment. But also, you know, this is so much of who I am, even maybe more so than acting.
Yeah.
So to me, this is the easy part to incorporate with my family. The hard part is, you know, like being on Insatiable, which I love very much. I love that job so much, but we shoot in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, you know, travel away from my family.
Right.
So to me, this is all easy to integrate into my life, and also what great lessons to teach my son and my daughter.
For sure.
Civic responsibility and you know, just being totally aware and wanting you know, better humanity. But and I'd much rather be teaching them those lessons than, you know, how to hit a mark or say your lines. I take great pride in it. They totally, my son the other night, I was putting him to sleep, and we always had, he's seven, and we have these really beautiful, deep conversations when I put him to bed. He, out of the clear blue sky, you know, if there was ever any doubt that he questioned what I did every day, it all went away, because he looked at me right in the eye and he said, "What did you fight for today, Mama?"
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's so sweet. That's amazing. So sweet.
And it was such validation of that. They understand that they get it and that they're supportive of it. And, I think those are important lessons.
Oh my God. Without a doubt. I'm happy to hear you say that, because balance, I don't know that I've ever had balance. I don't know that I actually want balance, because I don't know how to live in normal. And for me, it's like, you know, you say this is a part of who you are. The acting's that's the harder part, right? Going and leaving the family. This is who you are. This is the example you set for your children. I have a 10 and a half year old daughter who I went to go oppose Kavanaugh before we knew he was an accused rapist for, you know, that's saying what he is. And my daughter goes, those people in DC have no idea what's coming. And then I said, she goes, what? Yeah. Similar question. Like, nothing makes her prouder than to know that I am out there fighting. I'm just a regular person. And to your point earlier about politics being so accessible, you know, you want to get involved, reach out to the campaign of your choice, show up in someone's garage, grab a list of people who are registered to vote but who haven't committed to your candidate yet, and just do it. I love that. And I couldn't live without it right now. And I don't think ever. Anyhow, I appreciate your answer so much. I do love that, you know, our children are taking notice. You know, my son, who's 14 and mostly grunts nowadays at us, he actually told me he thought I was a good person recently.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. And so I could, you know, I'm going to cry just thinking about it.
You know, I want to throw this in there too. And Alyssa, I'm sure you know the date, but I do know this is about a year. We're into about a year anniversary of Me Too, of your tweet. And I just want to say, I want to ask you about that. But interestingly, at this time last year, I was living in Northern California in Santa Rosa, where we had that firestorm. And we didn't have electricity for a week, and we didn't have hot water for a week. And so I remember, you know, being feeling afraid, because our home was at risk. I mean, we weren't evacuated, but we were within 4 miles of where the fire hit. And I remember seeing your tweet and realizing during that week, you know, what was going on with the Weinstein and the Me Too. And I had been feeling since Trump was elected, I've always been a feminist, and I kind of dropped the ERA when I say air quote elected, and I kind of felt lost as a feminist. And then your tweet came down and the Me Too movement exploded, and I got a renewed sense of passion and anger. And I just wanted to ask you about that. Like, what's changed in your life since that tweet?
Well, the tweet was October 15th.
Okay, there
of
you
last
go.
Year.
Okay.
And I think really so many things had to happen perfectly for that tweet to go viral in the way that it did. And I think that started with President Trump being elected and being accused of 22 women of some kind of sexual misconduct or assault. And then to watch him attempt to systematically roll back our rights, or to put people in positions of power to roll back our rights, I think women were, probably still are, really scared.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I am.
And so I think there was, for me, this bizarre thing that was happening throughout the news, which was, even though it was because of these brave women coming forward about Harvey Weinstein, the focus was still on Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was this firestorm of media coverage all about the predator. And right. That to me was so, it was almost heartbreaking to see that the focus was more on the exploitive nature of what was happening rather than the healing of these women that were strong enough to come forward. So really, I was in bed with my daughter. It was a Sunday night. I was in Atlanta. I had to work the next day, and I was so overwhelmed by the prior 2 weeks and the news cycle. And I looked at her and I just started crying hysterically. I think we all had our own sexual assault triggered during that time, to hear things played out so publicly. And just at that you know moment, I checked my DMs, and Charlotte Clymer had sent me a DM with a screen grab of something that was going around on Facebook, which the screen grab is actually in my initial tweet. And I thought, and at this point I had no idea of Tarana's amazing work. I just thought, you know what, I'm going to put this out there. And if we could get some kind of idea about the numbers here, and women don't have to tell their stories specifically or name their accusers, but if we could just get some kind of number about, how prevalent this issue is, then maybe something would change. Maybe it would open people's eyes. Because at this point, I hadn't even told my parents.
Yeah.
I'd spoken to my therapist about it, but I had never told my parents or my husband. So I put out that tweet. I went to bed, and 7 hours later, I woke up to 53,000 replies. And then within 24 hours, it was used 12 million times. Within 36 hours, it was used in 85 different countries in different languages. And I think that moment that I knew that something really special was happening was when I got a call from UNICEF. I've been an ambassador for UNICEF since 2003. And I got a phone call saying that there was a group of little girls in Ethiopia that, because of Me Too and because of that tweet, they felt the strength to go and report a teacher who had been molesting them.
Wow.
And, that was only 4 days later. It had reached Ethiopia and had already made an impact. And so, I would say 2 days later, I found out about Tarana's amazing work, and my God, what an angel sent from the heavens.
Yeah. Right.
And nobody on the planet better to be the leader of this movement than this person who has dealt with the healing through empathy of survivors. I would actually say that they come to her as victims and leave survivors.
Oh.
And so, you know, she has become a dear friend and a true sister in this fight. And, you know, I think that we're making great strides. I really feel like things are changing, not only within my business, but just the awareness and the fact that people are still, you know, coming forward and reporting, and things are changing in every industry, whether it be, you know, farmers or, you know, the hotel industry or, you know, wherever it is. I think that, I think we're moving in a direction where, we don't have to be fearful that it's going to go backwards. And I think that scares the shit out of white men.
Yes.
Yeah, it really must. It's,
I mean, people, I think the fact that Trump said it's a very difficult time for men right now proves that we're winning, because that's always been the tactic of the Republicans, is to make people fear the things that they are afraid of losing. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want immigrants here. They're taking all of our jobs.
Right, exactly. You
know? It's very difficult for white men right now, or for men right now. I mean, this is their playbook, right? So to me, that means they're scared. And you know what? They should be scared.
They should be scared.
We're not going to be silenced anymore. We're going to support each other. We're going to hold each other high. We're going to report together. We're going to go in together. I mean, I always say, you know, if you're at a dinner with a group of women, we go to the bathroom together.
Yes, exactly.
Why do we expect a woman to go into human resources or to go to her boss and report some kind of harassment or misconduct alone? And I think that we're going to see now that is not going to be the case anymore, because we realize it was the system that pitted us against each other, to make us feel competitive with one another so that we would not come together. And because they knew once we came together and once we supported each other, that their charade would be over.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's interesting because I remember when you posted a year ago, Respond Me Too. And I have a variety of stories, just like so many of us do, right? And I was terrified. I'm an outspoken person. My family has experienced some recent backlash of sexual assault within the family from an outside source. It has rocked my world, and I was afraid to respond. And I am one of the loudest mouths mofos you will ever meet. And I remember being terrified. And the flurry has continued. It's made me fight. It's made me all that more committed to the cause. But people have shared so much since Kavanaugh, right? People who have been silent before for decades longer than I've been alive, who have come out and spoken up. And yesterday or last night, you posted the BrettKavanaugh.com, We Believe Survivors website. And first of all, the genius of whoever bought that URL and put it out there. And I thought, maybe this is another one of those moments where we stay angry, we stay focused, and we show up on November 6th to make a change. And we, you know, I thought of sharing it, you know, me and my huge 1500, my army of 1500 followers. But we need to keep this. We need to hold on to this anger and this motivation, because we have got to show up, because we just can't lose. We cannot go backwards.
We can't.
I'm sorry. I'm so emotional.
No, I think it's an emotional time. Look, I'm crying too. I think it's an emotional time right now. But I think that, you know, through the cracks, the light comes in, right? So we have to mobilize. We have to stay angry. We have to support each other. We have to continue to really remind people that democracy does not work. We are an active part of it, and I think we're seeing the result of what can happen if we don't take action. And I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a powerful November. I really do. I really feel that. And you know what? I was talking to my husband last night and he reminded me that about 4 months before Trump was elected, I looked at him and I said, Trump is going to get elected. And he laughed me off. And as sure as I knew that, I know that November is going to shock people.
Oh, well, I hope to hell you're as prescient as you were 2 years ago, because we got to do this. But you know what I also say? We have, this country, you know, women have withstood worse, dare I say. But, you know, we are a fucking scrappy bunch of people and we're going to do this. We are going to do this. And, you know, let's go out. I loved seeing you in Katie Hill's headquarters the other day. One of my best friends lives in that district. And we were talking about it yesterday and she goes, you know, Alyssa Milano was down here. And I'm like, I'm talking to her tomorrow, girlfriend. We're on fire.
Well, that was the day that Kavanaugh was confirmed.
I couldn't watch that.
I felt like I could either curl into bed and be in the fetal position for the next month.
Yeah.
Or that I could get dressed and go do what I had to do to feel like I was correcting what was
correct.
And
yes.
So that's what I did. And it felt really good. I took my mom. I took one of my best friends. I took Kelly, my assistant. And we went, we phone banked for a couple of hours and we left there feeling refreshed.
You know, I just want to say a couple of things here before we close. First, I do not want to forget that he would kill me if I didn't say this, but I used to live in Russia and I went to Anglo-American school with my friend Chris, who absolutely loves you, Alyssa. So Chris says hello.
Yay. Hi, Chris. Chris is listening right now.
but I wanted to let you know, you guys are talking about this emotion coming up. And my mother had an experience years ago that she had told me about when I was a little girl. And long story short, she used to wear hard contact lenses. And so one night this man attacked her and she was wearing hard contact lenses and she was worried that he was going to punch her and blind her. And right before he was going to rape her, she looked at him and she said, "You're going to rape me, aren't you?" And like something switched in him. And he realized what was happening, because I don't really think he was a rapist. So he just got off of her and she was able to leave. And so this was with a combination of other things that's just been going on in her life, regular stresses. But this Kavanaugh confirmation was really getting to her. I mean, Trump got to her, but Kavanaugh really got to her. And she was reliving this, you know, she was triggered like so many other people. And she was so down. We were supposed to go out on Saturday to celebrate my aunt's birthday, who is a Trump supporter. But anyway, we were going to go out. But my mother she hadn't slept that night and she was just a mess. And so anyway, you know, I mean, I felt horrible. I didn't know, there was nothing I could do to make my mother feel better. So anyway, that night, Saturday night, she watched Jane Fonda in Five Acts and something switched in her. And all of a sudden, she was pulled out of her depression and she looked at Jane Fonda's life and said, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to get involved with the Democrats here. I'm going to get back involved. She used to be in literacy programs in California. She's now in Maryland, so she's going to go help people learn how to read. And so I decided that I was going to watch the Jane Fonda special. And I don't know if you've seen it, Alyssa, but it was so interesting because there were so many parallels. Obviously, you know, she had that whole issue with Vietnam, which is not something you're encountering. But the similarities were so similar in that she gets knocked down. You know, when I posted the other day that you were going to be on our show and you retweeted it, oh my God, the trolls. So many trolls.
Trolls.
Yeah, I can't, nobody positive, only trolls. And I can't imagine what it must be like for you, because I've been attacked by the right before. I've been discussed on Fox and Friends and it's no fun. So I can only imagine what it's like for you. But you're such an inspiration. And the fact that Jane Fonda was able to pull my mother out of this wretched depression and give her renewed strength, I think is parallel to what you're doing. I think your strength, which I'm always floored, because you are always somewhere new doing something else with all of your heart. And I just, on behalf of all the people listening, on behalf of everyone who follows you, thank you so much for what you do, because it's so incredibly important, and you're intelligent and you're articulate, and you make such a difference.
Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate it. It also makes me incredibly uncomfortable, only because...
Oh, I know.
I do it because you do things that are right. Right. Right?
Yeah.
And I need to be able to sleep at night, and I couldn't sleep not being completely dedicated to bettering the world. Because otherwise, why be me?
Right. Oh my God.
Why be me? So
right.
I appreciate you saying that, as uncomfortable as it makes me.
Well, it's not even to kiss your butt. It's just to let you know what you're doing is making a difference, and it helps me. You know, you've been an inspiration to both of us. So thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for being on our show. We're so elated.
Oh my God. It's my pleasure. Thank you guys so much.
No, thank you, Alyssa. I have to just say, this is the last thing, not to make you uncomfortable. I was dropping my daughter off at school this morning, and I do some volunteer work, fundraising for the school, and we're in the season right now. And the age span of the employees at the school and the volunteers is varied, and it's wide. And I had to leave because we had to do our sound check and the whole thing. And I said, I gotta go. I'm interviewing Alyssa Milano. And the place went, like, not a single soul in the room. Now, granted, we are in Berkeley, California, but nonetheless, people went wild. I just want to echo what Kimberly said. I admire every ounce of you and what you do. And thank you so much. And for the wonderful example you're setting for all of us. So,
thank you.
On mama. Love you. Love you.
Love you both. And thank you for your support. And I'll see you on Twitter.
All right. Take care, Alyssa. Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow. No! Oh my God. That was such a great show.
I'm a mess. I'm a good mess though. A hot fucking delicious mess right now. Like, I have fuel. We are doing this. We are doing this. We are, like, all I could think of when I said stay angry was the Dos Equis guy. Yeah. Maybe that's our new thing, Kimberly. Stay angry, my friends. And, you know, is she from another planet?
I think so. Like, she's not even human. She is so incredible. Every time I turn on Twitter, Alyssa's like, today she's in Alabama driving someone to the polls. Tomorrow she's, you know, giving a speech about the NRA. The next day she's talking about Me Too and attending the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation, which, oh my God, was that awesome. With her fucking faces.
Watching her in the background with the perfect bun on top of her head, and then watching Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yes.
Where they put the paper figure of her in the background. I mean, seriously, she is our Jane Fonda.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, she absolutely is. And it's like, you know, I was so excited to tell her that I was so excited that she... took on the ERA, that I forgot that, you know, I had said my boyfriend was working out. When he came home, I probably screeched so loud in his ear, like, wah! Like, Alyssa Milano's gonna die! All about the ERA, and I'm dancing around it. I couldn't contain my excitement because I knew that she was the real deal. I knew that she was going to start talking about this. And not only has she started talking about this, I mean, like I said, she's gotten involved. I know she's working with the ERA coalition. She is working with Carolyn Maloney. They set up that shadow hearing. Her celebrity, her platform, helps make people aware. The thing that drives me crazy though, is when you say that, you know, that we don't have gender equality in the Constitution, there's so many arguments. people say things like, well, we've got the Equal Pay Act. But what they don't recognize is there's a loophole in the Equal Pay Act that makes it legal for employers to base salaries on past histories. So if you've been a victim of gender discrimination your whole life and gotten paid less, they can legally base your salary on that. So there's that loophole. There's other loopholes. And there's this book called Equal Means Equal, which totally outlines a number of court cases where the 14th Amendment was used and it was not considered. And you know how lawyers are, they can argue anything away. So you can't argue away the text of the ERA. You can't, because it's very simple. Equality of, equality of rights under the law shall not be abridged or denied, something like that, on account of sex. So by the United States or any state on account of sex. So that can't be argued in a court.
Right.
So
shut
up
your mouth.
But you know, I mean, the fact that she's on this and the fact that she's writing articles in CNN or CNN is doing articles about her and she's writing articles and you know, I mean, she's got a lot on her plate. She takes on a lot.
She takes on a lot, but here's the other thing. She's brilliant.
She is. She's
on top of it.
Yes.
So it's not, and I'm not to say that there are, I mean, like, look what Taylor Swift did.
I know. Don't you? The best part about, let me just say this. The best part about all of this to me is the fact that the, like the 4chan, the white supremacist neo-Nazis, all were hoping that she was their secret Trump-loving MAGA Aryan goddess. And she turned around and went, fuck y'all. Vote Democrat. I just love it.
This ain't my Tennessee. Right?
And then she got this huge spike in people registering to vote.
A huge spike, and her album sales went up.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, but Trump only likes her music. He likes her music 25% less now.
What an idiot.
These men, like, here's what I love. Let me just say. The white men in power who are doing everything they possibly can to hold on to their power, that is all that motivates them. They can't let go. They got to keep us down. And they're not, you know, they're doing an effective job of it right now. But that shit is coming to an end in 27 short days. Okay? And it's terrifying them. And now they're afraid. And they're, you know, like she said, Eliza said earlier in the talk, they're turning themselves into the victims here.
Yes. They're weaponizing victimhood.
When when Kavanaugh, when he was testifying, I was a wreck. Okay. As we all were, but I went out, I was also not feeling well. So I don't know if I was viscerally ill over what was going on or if it was a combination of actually really being sick, but I rode that hard for a week and it was awful.
Yeah, me too.
And I went out to empty my trash, and one of my neighbors comes up to me and he opened up to me in a way that I didn't expect over dropping the recycling into the gray bin. Like, quite honestly, I was flabbergasted. And we cried together on the street. I wasn't wearing a bra. I wasn't anticipating actually having a conversation with him because I was still kind of in pajamas, but I didn't care. And we went deep into this conversation. And then we did it again the next time we saw each other. Hmm. And then we hugged when that pile of garbage was confirmed.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, this is a white man of means, who is ready, willing, and able to throw down on our behalf.
Wow.
And that's what's happening right now. So to every Mitch McConnell, and just because that pile of chinless shit has a huge platform, there are a million.
Why are you so partisan?
there are a million more that live next door to me all over the country.
Yeah.
And so I'm just telling you, this has rocked me harder than Hillary losing.
Yeah. I know it has. And, you know, I'm not crying right now, but Bob,
I'm sorry.
No. Crying is good. And I think a lot of people feel the way you feel. I'm kind of cried out. You can ask Bob. I've been telling him, I'm sorry that I'm going to keep repeating myself. I'm sorry that, you know, you're going to keep hearing the same lament over and over about what's happening, because at least now with Kavanaugh, even though he's confirmed and that's for life and it's awful, and I can't even fucking look at him on television or anything.
Ugh.
While it was going on, it was like the waiting was killing me, you know. And then on top of it, I dealt with one cat dying, and then last Wednesday, my kitty, because the cat who died was my mom's kitty, who was like mine. But when my cat on Wednesday, she got sick. And it was awful. I mean, it was constipation, but she's an old cat and she was writhing.
Welcome
in pain.
To the club.
Yeah, I know. No, she was writhing around in pain and I didn't know what was going on. And I took her to the vet and spent $400 to find out she's, you know, constipated. But, you know, the thing is that if an animal doesn't go, I don't know if this is the same for humans, I would imagine, but if animals don't go to the bathroom and it stays in them, it becomes toxin. It kills them.
Yeah.
So, this was serious for me. And, you know, but anyway, going back to this, you know, crying thing, it's like I was sick for these weeks leading up to it. And now, even though the worst case scenario has happened, it's now happened. And now it's time to move on. It's time to move on and find that fight, which is, to me, less it's like I felt debilitated before. And now I feel like, all right, we know where we stand. I pretty much figured he was going to get confirmed. I hoped that things came up and I thought, oh, maybe not. But in the end, he did. So now we know where we stand. And now we know what we have to do and we have
to
fight.
Right.
So it's like, that's why I've already cried so many tears and I'm angry and now I'm ready to fight.
Oh, I vacillate between the two. It's, you know, and let's keep it that way. It needs to be visceral. It needs to be on our minds now until November 6th and then after, because there's going to be a lot of work that we need to do. We just can't, you know, we get these people elected. I've never seen grassroots like this in my entire life, Kimberly. I have never seen more people engaged. I'm doing everything I possibly can. We're all donated out. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. My husband's like, you have got to stop, because otherwise we don't pay for things that our family needs, sweetie.
Yeah.
But I've got two good legs. I've got a phone that works and an unlimited calling plan. I have got, you know, a car that I can put gas in. I'm going down to California's district number 22, because we are going to get Devin Nunes unseated and we are going to put a man of the people in his place. I don't give a shit what Nate Silver says. I don't give a shit about what the polling says. I know what people feel, and I know when you look in the eyes of someone who is as desperate as we are, you can change minds.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, God.
Don't be sorry. You don't have to be sorry. This is, you know what? This is how you feel. There's no reason for you to apologize for how you feel. You know? It just isn't.
Oh, God, love me.
We're going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to do this.
And I'm pissed. Last week, I said something so disgusting, which I will not repeat. And I was on the phone with my mom. I was also in the middle of like a juice cleanse. So I was on, I think, day 4, which is kill all the things day.
Yeah.
And I was looking at John Cornyn and all those smug sons of biatches speak after, you know, after the whole Kavanaugh thing.
As they were clinking their champagne glasses.
Right, right. And I said some stuff. My mom goes, that is not a good look for you, Stephanie. And I said, well, I don't really mean it.
Yeah.
And she goes, then best not to say it. And I'm like, no, you are so right. I'm just going to be a person of action.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, like in the words of Ernest Hemingway, isn't it pretty to think so sometimes, you know? And it gets me, you know, like I have to just kind of stand back up, slap myself across the face and say, all right, I'm going to do for Andrew Janz today. I'm going to do for Beto O'Rourke. I am going to give to that Democratic AG. I'm going to make calls on behalf of, you know, these people who need my help. These decent people who feel the way we feel. And encourage everybody. You know, I've got a lot of really bright friends who aren't in it as deep as I am, who ask questions like, okay, what do I do? What can I do? I'm not really comfortable with canvassing. Well, guess what? Call the headquarters of
Katie Hill, for example, and find out if they need phone banking.
Yeah.
You can do that from
the phone banking is easy because they give you a script. They give you a script. And what you do is you call in to this one number and then it's all done for you. So you don't even have to dial the number on your own phone.
Right.
Nobody knows it's you. It's all anonymous.
It's super easy.
Yeah. And then you've got a script, and occasionally sometimes people will talk to you. Other times they'll just, you know, say thank you and that'll be it. But it's very easy to make those calls.
Yes, it is. And I encourage everybody who is, you know, able to or comfortable to do it. You know, it's how we change things. But I am very encouraged by all of this. I'm encouraged and motivated by our anger and by our activism and by our desire to see change, because when we have the desire and we put that desire into action, that's how we change the world. That's how we change the world.
It is.
That's what we're doing.
Oh my God, anyway. I tell you.
All right. So it's beautiful. I love it. I'm so happy. I'm happy. These are happy tears.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, you know, we're just going to have to use our anger. We're just going to have to use the anger that we have and turn it into action.
That's right. All right, baby.
And try not to eat too much.
No, but can I just say that if you do eat, I do have a suggestion.
Oh, yeah?
Would you care to hear it?
Go for it.
Well, okay. So one of the things that, you know, we're busy. I've got two kids. I've got a son in high school now who's on a water polo team. We are all over the map, and yet people still need to eat. Is this the most eloquent segue you have ever heard in your entire life? So, you know, my husband's a big cook, but we've had to divvy it up because we're all hands on deck and, you know, two cooks going at once. So we started ordering Sun Basket to the house. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes. And I've had it and it's really good.
All right. Okay. Oh, that's right. I think I told you about it weeks ago. So you and Bob, you bought in?
Yeah.
You checked
and
it out?
I got, you know, I'm trying to lose weight, which is not really working, but I'm trying.
Worst time in the world to try to lose weight, but yes.
I know, but I was excited because I saw that they've got all these different menu options. They've got, whether it's, you know, low-cal or gluten-free or whatever, but they've got this one that is Moroccan. It was Moroccan chicken with riced cauliflower. So,
isn't that that's in the Mediterranean option, isn't it?
Yes, it's Moroccan chicken with cauliflower and rice and warm carrot salad. Oh my God, so good. And also the Sicilian salmon, just delicious. And it's like the salmon was so tender. It's delicious.
Well, what I love about it is, so my husband, like, he works from home. He likes to unwind in the kitchen and he puts beautiful meals in front of us. And he's also kind of a wizard in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I need to have, like, talk to me like I'm a 4-year-old with the recipe, you know? And what I love about Sunbasket is, first of all, it's important to me to put organic produce and clean ingredients on the table for my kids and for myself.
Everybody needs roughage as well.
And but also to know that it's done in a sustainable, humane way. It's great, but also, how much do you love the little precious containers that say fresh jalapenos or, you know, like, here's your coleslaw. It's already measured out and chopped for you. All you have to do is put the meat in the pan.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, the, like, grace. It's the ease. I mean, it's just the ease that especially today. I mean, I will say that I don't have to commute to my job, but I work so hard. So when it comes time to making dinner, I just want ease.
And you know what we've done? Like, now my kids are old enough, like, walk over to the stove, get the pulled pork, put it on the bun that we popped into the oven to warm up for you. Take your coleslaw that we mixed perfectly and your jalapenos, or grab a piece of salmon. And, you know, it's a really wonderful sort of adult way to do it. And I also like that cleanup's kind of a breeze because you're not doing all the prep work. And it's a wonderful company. You know, it comes in that beautiful basket and it's on ice and it's ready to roll. So I am sold on Sunbasket. We are a Sunbasket family. But what I would like to encourage our listeners to do is try it out, okay?
if you're a paleo person, if you're a vegetarian, if you're gluten-free, if you want to roll the dice and let the chef pick for you what you're going to have that week.
For people who have diabetes, there's options for that too.
Exactly. There is literally something for every diet, or people who are curious or willing to, you know, try new things. It's all there for you. But we have a special offer for Start Me Up listeners. So you go to sunbasket.com/startmeup and it's $35 off your first order. That's like free dinner on Sunbasket or on us, right? So try it out. Go to sunbasket.com/startmeup for $35 off your order. You will never go back.
And then we want to hear, if you do it, we want to hear if you like
it.
Yeah,
like write to us.
Yeah, because it's really good. Trust us. It's excellent food and it's easy. So there you go. Sunbasket.com/startmeup.
Do it. Yeah, that's exactly right.
All right. Well, just before we go into another thing, I want to let everybody know that next week we're going to be interviewing David Wiseman, who is a former Trump supporter, and now he's a Democrat. So it's going to be really interesting to hear his perspective. He's fascinating on Twitter. It's David, and then it's W
E I S S M A N.
I think there's two. Let me look.
Two S's.
There might be. I think it might be. Let me
double. W E I S S M A N.
Yeah, there it is.
David M Wiseman.
Yeah, and he's really an interesting fellow. So I encourage everybody to follow him. I believe he's the real deal. We're going to talk to him next week. So, all right, Stephanie, well, we had our first big time celebrity. Yay! Alyssa Milano. And now we're going to go into another thing and talk about all kinds of juice.
Juice.
See you next time.
All right.